Today, we are going to be talking about the Kyle Rittenhouse Always Ready Bundle available at armoredrepublic.com. It's a very practical kit, including everything that you need all the way from hydration to first aid to general purpose to magazine holders and to a very comfortable plate carrier. So included is the Testudo Gen 3 plate carrier, and we also have two C3 plates that I've included in the bundle. So these plates are multi-curve, multi-hit ceramic, so they can take multiple rounds. I really like these plates because it's gonna offer level 4 protection. Thank you guys for watching. Again, you can go to armoredrepublic.com, linked below, and you can purchase your Kyle Rittenhouse Always Ready bundle today.
When I grow up, I wanna work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Politic on the File Out Feast Network. Pastor Toby Talk Knox, I'm the water boy. It's good to be with you guys. One thing, we've talked about this over the years. We don't want you to forget what happened in 2020. Yeah. But I think the related to that and not forgetting is there's actually so much legal battles going on. That's why we had Dr. Eggleston on this past week. I got it right.
Yeah, sort of.
Good enough for me. And but also, there's just so many legal battles that are going on right now that we all need to be aware of and support how we can with Dr. Eggleston, John Stockton,
Gabe, that kind of stuff. But Gabe, the real scandal is January 6th.
Yeah. Well, that's all.
Yeah, actually, it really is.
But that's all.
The spin on that Joker.
That's why we had the correspondence from Blaze, the reporter from Blaze on.
I know.
There's all these things going on, and it's so easy to forget in the government. And mainstream media is not talking about this.
Right.
They're not talking about all the stuff that's going on with the vaccine right now.
Yeah.
They're not talking about January 6th. The only time they're talking about January 6th is when someone got convicted.
Right.
Like, oh, another point we can score. The same thing with the FACE Act. What's going on in Tennessee?
Yeah.
The only time they're talking about it is when these people got convicted. That's when you heard about it.
Right.
And so there's a lot going on where it's just wicked what the Biden administration is doing.
Is your smartphone a tool in the service of Christ, or is it a minefield of distractions and temptations? With soul-killing seductions just a few taps away, our families and churches must embrace biblical accountability on our digital devices. Accountable to you, that's the word accountable, the number two, the word you, makes transparency easy on all your family's devices by sharing app usage and detailed browsing history, including incognito mode, with your spouse, parent, or chosen accountability partner. Accountable to you helps your family to proactively guard against temptation so you can live with integrity for God's glory. Learn more today and try it for free at accountabletoyou.com. That's accountable, the word accountable, the number two, you.com/FLF. Also want to remind you of Fight Laugh Feast conference coming up this fall. Prodigal America is the theme. God the Father is waiting and looking down the road for all his prodigal sons to return. Will prodigal America return to the Father in repentance, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord? Or will we fall to our own destruction and become a pillar of salt as a memorial for all the other nations? Join us on Reformation Weekend this year, October 31st to November 2nd in Fort Worth, Texas, for the annual Fight Laugh Feast Conference. This year, the theme again is Prodigal America. You'll spend the weekend hearing from George Grant, Dusty Deaver, Steve Dace, James White, Doug Wilson, and of course, we'll be there doing a live show, singing psalms with you, feasting to the glory of God. Get tickets today at prodigalamerica.com. We're really grateful to have with us today Karen Kingston. Is a med legal advisor and biotech analyst.
And she's telling everything, just like a Karen should.
with 25 years experience, she's internationally recognized as an expert on the harmful biological effects caused by mRNA technology. Karen, thanks for joining us on Cross Politic.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, Knox, I am the OG Karen. I walked in my son's high school, the principal and the nurse turned and ran the other way for sure. So.
Well,
I like how she just owns it. Yeah, I'm like the quintessential Karen.
I think this is probably the part in the show where we got to tell everybody on YouTube, I'm sorry, we can't be here no more.
Yeah,
well, that's right.
It's about to get real.
We can't air the show on YouTube.
And if you want that Karen information, you're going to have to go over to the app.
That good stuff.
That good stuff. You have to go over to the app. You're going to have to go over to Rumble. You're going to have to go over X, where they allow you to have free speech like this.
Right.
And not penalize you. So I'm sorry, y'all. We got to say bye to y'all over here.
YouTube. Hop on over.
We'll see you there.
Yeah.
Karen, how is the vaccine the beginning of the biorevolution?
Thanks so much for bringing that up, Toby. And it's an honor to speak to you guys and your audience. Most Americans and global citizens are unaware of synthetic biology, which is a $4 trillion industry and rapidly growing. And that is the foundation for what governments and industry are calling the biorevolution. And the foundation of the biorevolution are these gene editing technologies that we call lipid nanoparticles in the mRNA injections, which some people call COVID vaccines. And there's no cholesterol in there. They're not lipids. They're engineered nanoparticles. And they're the foundation to introduce non-human DNA into the cells of the human body, as well as to integrate technologies integrated with the biodigital realm. And I know this sounds sci-fi, but as you go through the manufacturer's documents, Pfizer, Moderna, their SEC filings, the government contracts with Operation Warp Speed, hundreds of peer-reviewed publications, the use of nanoparticle technology has been around for decades. And it's basically primarily been done in the lab because it's used to modify the genome of various species. So it was never intended to go into human beings. Thermo Fisher Scientific is not a household name, but they are the world's largest biotechnology company. And they acquired LifeTech in late 2000s. And again, this was all done for research. It was never meant to go into human beings. Thermo is the manufacturer for Moderna's mRNA. Moderna, many people know, have had a long contract with the US military and DARPA going back over 10 years. And these technologies were always developed as dual use, which means they could be used as weapons of biowarfare and weapons of mass destruction. Because once you make an edit to the genome of any species, as James Clapper said, who worked under the Clinton administration in our intelligence community, he stated in 2016, once you make an edit to any species, that's to the extermination of that species. So that's why these are considered weapons of mass destruction. So the reason why the mRNA injections, the COVID-19 injections, are the beginning of the biorevolution is that if you read a number of peer-reviewed publications, even in American Chemistry Society's publication, they clearly state COVID-19 allowed the use of nanotechnology and gene editing nanoparticles into human beings. So this was the beginning of what some people call transhumanism, but the new industry term is the biorevolution. And the biorevolution, according to a 2020 U.S.-China report put together by our intelligence community presented to Congress, says this is a $4 trillion industry and it is the future of the global economy. So what's alarming, though, again, is editing the genome of a human being, of a child, of any species goes against all of God's laws. And it's very clear in this 2020 report that in order for synthetic biology to thrive and for the biorevolution to come forward full circle and to use gene editing technology on all life forms, the belief that individuals have human rights needs to be abolished. And I'm glad you guys brought up J6, because that's all about abolishing our unalienable human rights that are given to us by God, our creator.
So Karen, if you edit my genome, my DNA, like you're talking about, what would happen to me? Like, give me a practical example. Editing my genome, how would that destroy me or my family, whatever?
Well, you might get another ear. Back.
I might. I'm deaf in one ear, so maybe it restores that. Yeah, would be great.
It could go backwards. Yeah.
So I think I don't think people understand what it means when you say you edit the human genome. They think you're going to spontaneously turn into a zombie or something right. like that. And that's, I think that was implanted in our psyche on purpose through entertainment and movies and whatnot. It's rewriting the DNA at the cellular level. So what these injections do is because they have something called a cationic lipid, which is a nanoparticle that can host an electric charge, it can penetrate the cell wall and penetrate the nucleus of your cell. And then it does the gene editing inside the cell. And so your cell starts producing proteins, which are just genetic material foreign to the human body, right? Very basic right there. So we know the bat coronavirus is allegedly from a bat. And when you look at the genomic sequence of it, it's got all kinds of disgusting things in it, from bats and snakes and all these different species are in it. And there's human species in it too, because it's produced from human embryonic kidney cells. I make such a face when I talk about it. So again, but it's in this nanoparticle that mimics cholesterol in your body. That's why they call them lipids. But it's got a positive charge, so it goes into your cell, and then your cell presents, you know, or produces foreign DNA, DNA from a bat, which is disgusting. You know, DNA from a rodent, DNA that's just it's not how God made us. So once you present that foreign DNA, your immune system will start attacking those cells. So cells in the body that the body used to think was self, you know, you would not attack. Mm-hmm. So if these, you know, technologies or these nanoparticles, again, they mimic cholesterol, our body loves cholesterol. And because they're smaller than the size of a virus and much smaller than the size of a cell, whoa. Again, they're nano-sized, not micro-sized, they go to all systems in the body, you know, including into your central nervous system. So right there, you just have your immune system, white blood cells, eating cells that are self. So that's a problem. If you go to Pfizer's website, and if you go to the China National Gene Bank website, what they'll explain there is that there's 8,000 genetically induced diseases, right? And so if you can rewrite your body to produce proteins that are typically produced by a genetic deformity that you're born with. And one of the ones they talk about is ATTR cardiomyopathy. What is that? That's when your body produces proteins called amyloid proteins, specifically, and they present in cardiac tissue. And what happens when that happens is that you have a hardening of your left ventricle and you end up getting congestive heart failure.
Died suddenly.
So it just so happens that Pfizer has the only product called Vyndaqel, which is like, did you really call it Vyndaqel to treat cardiomyopathy? And it's $225,000 a year for a treatment.
So is the human race like that? I almost said bat crazy, but but is not, it like, yeah. is it that, you know, wicked? I guess I don't understand why someone would nefariously create a vaccine that would kill the human race. I mean, who would they even govern if no one's alive? Who, you know,
Well, I mean, from an industry perspective, and keep in mind, like I've worked with Pfizer was a client of mine. I worked for Pfizer. I was trained by the worst. And I worked with many big companies and I worked with smaller companies and venture capital firms. So from an industry perspective, the pharmaceutical industry was DOA, do not resuscitate by 2016, 2017, 2018, you know, and the industry saw that coming by 2008. So, you know, if you're presented with this new platform that they're calling mRNA, which is these gene editing technologies, which I don't believe any human being with a sound mind would agree to be injected with a gene editing technology that could induce disease in their bodies and induce neurological disorders and sterility. But if you were Pfizer, let's say, and you had $40, $50 billion a year and it was just going to end, and you're GlaxoSmithKline and you're Johnson & Johnson, and you're seeing this cliff of tens of billions of dollars that's just going to fall off by 2020, 21, 22. And they're like, look, we've got this new technology. We can work with the FDA so that we can get it unlawfully approved under the guise of being a vaccine. And it'll induce what were formerly rare genetic diseases. It'll induce it on hundreds of millions, maybe billions of people. So you'll have all these new markets that now you can go into because we're taking rare diseases and making them ubiquitous across society. So if you look at it from that perspective, that would be the pharma angle. Now, again, these are weapons of mass destruction. And if you, you know, if you're a man or woman of God, this is evil. It's demonic. It's blasphemous. But if you don't believe in God and you know, you have to have, I believe, some kind of psychopathy,
you will soon.
Then you just don't care. You look at human beings as being expendable.
I mean, help me with this, Gary. I mean, usually, I mean, I think, you know, I suppose there are some really, really bad guys, like in the movies, who in their, you know,
Dr. Evil
in their closet are cackling and saying, you know, we're going to mass produce a bunch of diseases, and then we'll be able to make a lot of money by selling all the treatments for the diseases that we're creating. But the vast majority of people.
You mean like they gave black folks syphilis?
The vast majority of people do evil things, but usually think that they're doing good. You know, they call it good while they're actually doing evil. And so my question though is, what is the good thing that they think that they're doing? I mean, I don't think that most of the people working for these companies are thinking to themselves, we are doing evil. We love creating all these extra diseases in people, cause then we're going to make lots of money and have big houses and fast cars. Most of these people are thinking they're doing something good. What is that good thing that they think that they're doing?
I mean, if I can be honest, Toby, I think maybe people underestimate the power of groupthink. If you look at some, there's a whistleblower from Pfizer. He worked for Project Veritas for a while. And you look at the internal recorded meetings, and he's telling his supervisors, he worked on the mRNA platform research. He's telling his supervisors, as you know, his mother's friends and associates are coming down with heart attacks and dying, and he's concerned. And they said, well, that's not our concern, right? And one of the supervisors says, look, you know, this technology has been around for nearly 20 years. It's never got approval because of these serious adverse events. It's never been safe, but that's not our concern. So there, you know, again, this has to do with, this really has to do with the abolishment of the belief that individuals were not given rights from our creator, from God, and that you have to abolish the belief in God, because people fear man more than they fear God, to the point they'd rather die than be embarrassed, or they'd rather we die than they be embarrassed. Right. And again, I think that's something I witnessed in the industry, you know, over the 25 years that I was in it. And a lot of people think there's a gray area. And I was like, no, there's not a gray area. You know, it's black and white, what's right and wrong.
So Karen, wait,
because we haven't been rated yet.
Yeah.
You were in the industry for 25 years. When did you get out? Did COVID wake you up? Like, what happened in your story to get out?
You know, I don't recognize the industry the same way I don't recognize my country today. Let's just be honest. You know, when I started off at Pfizer, we had a lot of great products. Zithromax is still an amazing product, and it's very effective, you know, in treating off viruses and bacteria. But in 2020, when they announced this lockdown, and then I knew this was a play to bring out a vaccine, I thought it was just to give like Roche and GSK. Pfizer's never been in the vaccine market. I was shocked to see them get involved. I thought it was just a play to generate some revenue from some of the giants. And then as I looked into the data and they went after the children, and I actually read the phase 3 submission that Pfizer and Moderna submitted, the data was horrifying. You know, just some top numbers. There were 18,000 people that were injected in the Pfizer group. Over 2,000 became sick with mild, moderate, severe disease and death. That was 20% about became severely ill within less than 2 months. 0.1%, 19 died, and these were healthy people. You know, so 409 came down with severe illness within the first or second shot within a week. I mean, the data was horrifying. A 17-year-old fell over and split his or her face open. just collapsed. Mm. And they just decided not to report this in their summary reports. And then they did this weird, funny math where the difference between the injection group and the placebo group up to 2 months was 0.87%, meaning it was less than 1%. So the outcome difference between the placebo group and the efficacy group was less than 1%. When does less than 1% equal 95%? Right? They just did this weird math. So so when I looked into this, I looked at the patents, not because I enjoy reading patents, but this thing was not a vaccine and I couldn't figure out what it was. And right in the opening paragraph in the description of the art of the master patent, it says that these are nanoparticle technologies that are both therapeutics, delivery devices, and diagnostics. A diagnostic is not a biologic. It is not a drug. It's a device. So, and then as I read through it, and they talk about luciferase and the creation of triple helix DNA, I just realized this was a demonically inspired invention. And that's when I put together a document. I sent it out to media influencers, politicians, and my friends in the industry. And one of my friends called me and said, look, I know, I have a reputation. They call me the cleaner. And he's like, I know you're really smart. I know you put this together. I'm not going to get any more shots. My wife won't get any more shots. I'll make sure my kids don't get any shots. He goes, but Karen, cut it out. He goes, you're never going to work again in the industry. And he goes, you're going to get yourself killed.
Mm. Wow.
But he wasn't joking. I mean, he was very serious.
Go ahead, Toby. I'll let you.
Let me do this ad and then you jump in.
I got a bunch of questions, Karen. I need you to do your Karen thing on these.
Okay. How can we seek out the capital T truth in a society struggling with subjective truths? That's what Classical Conversations podcast, Refining Rhetoric with Robert Bortons, is all about. Relying on the tools of learning from the classical model of education to guide his conversations, Robert Bortons, CEO of the world's leading homeschool support organization, Classical Conversations, dives into weekly conversations with important thought leaders on critical topics related to the Christian faith,
really good too.
Education, business, and culture. Listen to Refining Rhetoric wherever you stream podcasts or simply learn more about the show at classicalconversations.com/FLF. That's Refining Rhetoric in your favorite podcast streams.
So Karen, there's a lot of people who, I think, what is it? A third of America didn't get the vaccine, something like that, a little over a third. And they feel really good about listening to this conversation. And I'm going to blow that out the water in just a minute, because I want to talk about shedding. But before I do, you just used the term, and I have to know, why did they call you the cleaner? What is that?
Oh, basically, what you can and cannot say in the industry is based on two things. The data you submitted to the FDA and the law. And a lot of times companies go rogue, right? The marketing departments go rogue. The sales reps go rogue. Also, like when you're raising venture capital, you have to show that your IP is ironclad and you have to show a trajectory for growth. And a lot of times when those companies are failing or a company goes rogue and they're about to lose everything or get sued, you know, $500 million, there's an expression in the industry, which is call Karen, she'll fix it. Because I'll go through all the data, like Neo, I just like tear through the data and then I'll give them a med legal analysis on how to get themselves out of hot water and pivot legally. Because I'm brought in when they're basically breaking the law. I was a lot.
So they know who you are. Like you're the person. You're the fixer in the industry.
Yeah, I'm not well liked because I adhere to the law, right? So I've had to fire clients when they've said, we're going to go do this, you know, and I'm like, that violates these laws. You can't be my client anymore. Mm. So, but you know, when a board member, when several board members and the attorneys, you know, start to get their, you know, whatever skirts ruffled, they're like, how do we get our team back in line? And they'll call me. Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not, even some clients I work with, like they do it on the DL, like they'll call me.
You know, right. I know how that works. I understand that. I get that. So then can we talk about a couple things? I kind of want to know, with all this information and what you have going in front of you, what's the plan? What's the steps of action that you're wanting to take that'll be good for the rest of America? But before we get there, So I remember seeing first part of the lockdowns and everything going on right as the vaccines get introduced. I saw an article that came out in Missouri about a lady who had a beautician shop, and she had some people who were vaccinated and some of her workers who weren't vaccinated. And she had clients coming in that were vaccinated and some weren't vaccinated. And she made news because she said, listen, if you're vaccinated, you can't come in my shop. Now, this was the first time I had seen an article since the whole pandemic that said anything like this. It was, if you're not vaccinated, you can't come in. And the reason that she said, if you're vaccinated, you can't come in, because you're throwing off women's cycles because of shedding.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was the first time I heard shedding. I was like, wait, what is shedding? And my wife was like, I knew it, because you can't help. So would you describe what shedding is and how it's possible, and what are the effects of shedding? So if you didn't get the vaccine and you're happy you didn't get the vaccine, you can still be affected because of shedding. To what degree can you be affected from that as well? I gave you a bunch of questions, but you're a cleaner. You can clean that up.
Sure. Yeah, I know that's a concern of everyone. So shedding is a real thing. It's an actual term that's used in the industry when you use viral-like gene editing products. There's actually a 2015 document called Oncogenic and Viral-like Gene Editing Products, How to Design Shedding Studies, right? Mm. And that 2015 document. It's also in Pfizer's initial new drug application for women of childbearing age, that you cannot be around someone like Knox, let's say your friend, we'll just make a guy named Ben, got vaccinated and you're not vaccinated, but you went and played basketball with Ben, and then you and your wife conceived. Your wife had to go to the Pfizer safety board and report that you played basketball with Ben, who was inoculated during the trial, because she was exposed to the biotechnology product. So
wow,
that's how real shedding is. It's in the initial new drug application. And what it is, again, what these nanoparticles are, is they are synthetic biology is technology that mimics biology. And so they mimic cells of the human body, but they're smaller than a cell. They mimic viruses, and the spike proteins are smaller than a viruses. They're like 1/10,000th the size of a virus. So, and because they're biosynthetic, they're very durable. They're made of some inorganic materials, and they present this foreign DNA. And it can get to, you know, they can reside in your dermis, your skin. So through skin to skin contact, and through breathing, if you are inoculated with this, you can then expose someone to this technology. Now, the good news is obviously toxicity is based on quantity of the toxin. So, you know, the best thing you can do is not get injected, but exposure is real. And there's many, many reports of especially young girls who experienced early menstruation, heavy menstruation, irregular menstruation, because a parent was inoculated. There's so many of those reports. So it is a real thing.
And to what effect? So myocarditis is not something that you can get from shedding, right? Like we're not talking about that, right? But we are talking about reproductive issues here.
So I have to be honest, Knox, nobody knows. And people that pretend to know don't know. Wow. Why do they not know? Because if you read the 2015 document from the FDA, they were supposed to conduct animals trials on shedding before they injected a human being. And if a human being was injected and they knew there was shedding, that human being was supposed to be quarantined for however long a period of time that they figured out from the animal trials the shedding was going on for.
Right.
We don't know if shedding goes on for 2 weeks or 2 months, 2 years, or infinity. We have no idea.
Mm. Mm. That's encouraging.
That's why it takes 8 years for these things to get approved.
Let's talk about what's going on in Florida. This is why everyone should be concerned about this. Again, synthetic biology is a multi-trillion dollar industry. And it's using artificial intelligence is running this industry right now. And I think people are complete fools. Those who profess to be wise became fools. They have no idea what they've unleashed on humanity, the majority of these people. And they're very full of hubris, you know. And so this nanoparticle technology, and it's not a crazy term. It's all over all the documents. It's not a vaccine. Stop calling it a vaccine. You know, it was the FDA said, look, we're going to call this a vaccine so that Pfizer and all the manufacturers can have an immunity shield that's virtually unbreakable. Does it meet any criteria of a vaccine under any federal or state statutes? Yep. No, because it doesn't provide immunity, right? And that's very clear from all the scientific evidence. It never provided immunity. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at the animal studies that were done by Barney Graham and Jason McClellan, who invented the alleged, you know, the spike protein, which isn't a protein either, it's not biological, they tested it against 200 biosynthetically recreated human antibodies, and they bounced off of it like bullets on Superman. So it's not a vaccine. Mm. It can only cause disease, disabilities, infertility, and death. And in Florida, I have been working with sheriffs, and I had put together a statement of facts, and it was a demand letter. And it goes through 100 documents that show that the mRNA nanoparticle injections do not prevent infection, do not protect against disease, hospitalization, or death. They were not done under bona fide research because the research was all fraudulent. And they have no peaceful purpose, meaning that they are causing harm. So they can be pulled from the market. So that was what I was doing last summer. I was working with sheriffs. When I showed them the information, when I show victims the information, they're like, how do we get these guys? This has got to be shut down. Anyway, what I was doing got shut down. If you guys know, I had to leave the country. And I'm just so thankful for a man named Dr. Joseph Sansone, who I've known now for over about a year and a half. He took my statement of facts and he put together a writ mandamus to the Florida Supreme Court. A writ mandamus means we command. It's essentially a demand letter asking the Florida Supreme Court to command Attorney General Ashley Moody, and Governor DeSantis to pull the mRNA injections from the state of Florida to protect their community, so to do their job. And it was recently moved to a court in Tallahassee. And it appears that the Florida Supreme Court said, look, this is worthy of investigation. When you go through this document that I put together, you know, and again, keep in mind that I used to take complex scientific information, simplify it for doctors, and then simplify it for investors, and the attorneys, and then simplify it for consumers. So you go through this information. I wrote it the same way I would a med legal meeting or what we would prepare for an FDA submission for a license application. But it's not difficult to understand. You just go through it. And when you see the overwhelming body of evidence, there is nothing you can do except say these shots need to be removed from our community to protect our community and our children and our posterity. I go through the data about how these injections can cause infertility in both men and women as well.
Karen, where can we find that mandamus at?
You can find it on my Substack, KarenKingston.substack, and I have it pinned. And you'll see an image of Ashley Moody and Governor DeSantis. And right in the opening paragraph, there's the case number. And you can click on that case number, and it goes to the writ mandamus that's available on the Florida court government website. You can also go to Dr. Joseph Sansone's Substack, and he's constantly giving updates on his case. He filed it pro se, so he is the litigant that filed this.
Karen, thank you so much for coming on Cross Politic. You're welcome here anytime to have this conversation again or tell us any updates about how this is going.
I'd like to hear how that court case goes.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you're single, get married. If you're married, have you some kids? And if you have kids, you need to go baptize them. Until tomorrow, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go fight, laugh, and feast. This is Cross Politic.